It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Good evening, everybody. It is Sunday night, the sit down with the true Don Tony of pro wrestling. What's going on, everybody? I am back. I am with my coffee. And I want to, you know, look, I don't make money off of this, but if anyone out there wants to experiment different coffees, some that you may never have tried before, I have really become almost obsessed with the pour over coffee method. I got the gooseneck hot water pot. I got tons of pour over coffee. This is one that I got from Japan. The name of the company is UCC, and this flavor happens to be Hakata. Hakata. I can't tell you how good this stuff is. You know, the whole trick with pour over coffee, especially something like this, is that when you pour the water over, you have to just barely have the water hit the grinds, and then you stop. You stop. If you want to compare it to sex, it's time. No, not just yet. So you just, before you blow all the water on the grinds, as soon as it gets moist, you stop for about 30 seconds and you literally watch the grinds explode. It almost looks like an eruption. And then after 30 seconds, you continue pouring the water very, very slowly. And when you see like this white foam build above the coffee grinds, you know that you have an epic cup of coffee coming. I can't tell you how good this stuff is. So I'm going to hang out with all of you tonight, have a cup of coffee, answer whatever is on your mind. I might share one or two little tidbits as far as, you know, news or the show is going. But I got to tell you all something right before we start. You know, it's funny. I really, this is not a good way to compare it. But I just saw this super chat come in. Steve Joseph, what's going on? And everyone who is with me tonight, how you doing? Is backstage politics a real thing in the wrestling industry? It's everywhere. Any type of job, there's always someone who is envious of the position that you're in. There's always someone that feels that they should be further than when they're at. There are people that are always looking at behind their shoulder to see if somebody's out there trying to stab them in the back or trying to take their job. Of course, it's competition. It is everywhere. It happens amongst your fellow employees. It happens amongst competitors. It is, and especially now, where, you know, it's funny. I saw Triple H in an interview over the weekend talk about how the lower end wrestlers make $250,000 a year. You know, see, these matarazzas online, they weren't around when the days of Rey Mysterio, when he first went to WWE and the contracts were like 60 grand, 70 grand. And you look at that time, $250,000. Go look at the thread that is on social media. It got the most response. You have these people online saying for a $1 billion company, paying a wrestler $250,000 is an insult. Anybody that does that, just look at their bio and see what they do for a living. Now, if they are a financial investor and they're posing in front of Teslas or a mansion, or they just look like they clean daily, and then I'll take what they say with a little bit of creed. But you look at these people online, it's just out of control. It's out of control. And, you know, I sincerely apologize for anyone out there who really got sick of me a couple of years ago talking about, you know, this toxicity on social media. I used to use the heroin reference. Say that fast. You know, it's a hit. It's a hit. And, you know, even the nicest people online will exaggerate and lie about themselves because that acknowledgement, that praise, that compliments that they receive, it's a drug. Now you're seeing it in full bloom and it's out of control. But, you know, segueing into something else, I haven't had one of these happen in a very long time. Probably 15 years, I would say. I got my first true death threat in about 14 or 15 years. I got it last night. All I will say to you is this. Some people online, when you talk about certain truthesies, I guess you could call it, especially when we're talking about that toxic environment with AEW, look, in no way, shape, or form do I want AEW to be hurt. I fucking love watching AEW. I try to keep things in perspective. I think it was, Kevin Milwaukee that said it best about Wheeler Yuta. We had that conversation yesterday. You know, okay, he could bleed, but can he sell tickets? You know, you don't want just the existing AEW fans to get into Wheeler Yuta. I mean, that's cool. That's cool. But, you know, you want to expand your audience. You want to have extra shirts being sold, merchandise. You know, you remember the reference that I said about Becky Lynch 3 or 4 years ago? For anybody that's newer, I brought up, this is the difference between WWE and their mindset and a lot of what happens in AEW. And AEW, as they grow, and as they get more experience and they learn and people realize that it's just a business, it's just a business, it's just a business. You know, they will learn from it. But I brought up the example from probably 6 months to a year before Nia Jax potatoed Becky Lynch, busted nose, the rest is history. You have an autograph signing. WWE's going to have an autograph signing. Some, okay, 5,000 tickets were sold. I'm just using an example. 5,000 tickets were sold, autograph signing. And 5,000 people show up. Becky Lynch gets 500 of those 5,000. Okay, fine. Now Becky Lynch becomes the man. Now of those 5,000 tickets, if she could sign them all, she might sell 2,000. The point is, if you're going to see an increase like that for Becky Lynch, you hope that you don't just have 5,000 people still showing, because all you're doing is you're just diverting and you're, the proportion of how everything's being split is changed. The idea is you want to increase, you want to build, you know, and to just have, okay, Dante Martin, you know, a couple of months ago, he was the talk and everything, and you see what they're doing with him now. It's like, okay, you know, some people think he's a main eventer. Okay, now we could pull back. What happened with Tony Nese? You look at Jay Lethal, and you look at, just because they do promos every week, pre-recorded promos, doesn't mean they're being utilized all that great. So as time goes on, you know, people will learn, and people will see. But I had someone send me an email last night with some legitimate, serious threats in it. Now, am I concerned in the least bit? No. Nobody's going to be a whack job to that point to do what they say that they're going to do. The difference is, I don't put the shit on Twitter. I literally just filed a criminal complaint. And I forwarded the email address. Now, it's probably, if the person is smart, it's not going to get traced to anything back. But the point is that, you know, when you get a threat seriously, you know, you don't run to Twitter, you run to law enforcement. And that's the thing that blows me away over the last 5 years, especially people saying, oh, their families were threatened, their kids were doxxed. Remember when I did that for AEW botches? Do you know, to this day, never got a thank you for that? And honestly, In my personal opinion, I think the guy lied. I think the guy lied when he said that his family and his kids were, you know, were doxxed and death threats and harassing the family. You know, the internet and law enforcement takes this very, very seriously. Whether you're a troll yourself or not, threats are threats. And when the guy ran to social media to get 1,500 likes and expressions of support, I'm like, why didn't you fucking report it to the FBI? Why didn't you report it to why wouldn't you do it? My family, my kids, somebody threatens, I don't have kids. Somebody threatens my kids. Somebody threatens my wife. Somebody threatens my parents. Fuck me. Don't worry about me. You threaten my family, I'm going to do everything possible to make your life a living hell. I don't run to Twitter for likes and retweets and heart emojis. So when I filed that, you know, I put it online. I'm like, look, if he's telling the truth, you know, I hope this helps. And if he's not telling the truth, he may have a problem. And like I said, not even a thank you. I don't need thank yous, but that should just show you just to disturb. It's not just people who are being threatened, but people who claim things that are not true. So you won't see me posting this stuff online, but you know, I haven't had a good one in about 14 years. And the one I got, I read it like 4 o'clock this morning. Some of you may have seen me online early this morning. I couldn't go back to sleep. I was pissed off more than anything else. So anyway, all dream. Of course he saw it. I fucking DM'd him with a case number and everything else. I sent them all the information. Even my post got like 700 likes in response. It's the number one response on the thread that time. Of course he saw it. All right, questions. If you have questions, all I ask is that in the chat, you put the letter capital Q before it, or even better, write the word question because it stands out better and I could spot it quickly and I could get into it as fast as I possibly can. Super chats are obviously not required. They do take priority, of course. That's the right thing to do. But I will answer everybody tonight. And spread it out a little bit. You answer a question, you ask a question, I answer it. Wait a few minutes, and then you can ask another. Because I know some people are very excited. They'll just one after the other, after the other, after the other. Before I do that, Eddie K, he is going to Raw tomorrow. Have a great time. You know, AJ Styles versus Damian Priest, if they give them enough time, I think that is going to be a banger. Cody Rhodes versus Miz. Why? I said this yesterday. Why are people complaining? Why are people saying this is a random match? I mean, if you're just going to put Cody Rhodes against WrestleMania quality opponents, they ain't going to be nothing for Cody Rhodes to do in 6 months. This is the AEW mentality bleeding into WWE mentality. And look, this is why I don't like to compare WWE and AEW, because it's two totally different formats. I've always said AEW is like an indie wrestling event, and that is not criticism. Anybody that's ever been to a local indie wrestling event, you know what I'm talking about. You know, a lot of matches may not be heavily storyline driven. You get to see some matches that you don't normally see. It's a feel-good show. You go home happy. You get, you know, a lot of just meat. And then the next time they come to your town, it could be all different matches. Maybe one or two storylines that actually stick. But for the most part, it is a feel-good indie card, and you go home happy. That's what AEW reminds me of. WWE, they will push a storyline 3 months, 4 months, 6 months, if the fans want it, and if it's making money. So, of course, they're going to do the slow burn with Cody Rhodes. People expect him, because see what happened with Bryan Danielson? Bryan Danielson comes to AEW, boom, Kenny Omega. And that mindset is, oh, Cody Rhodes, Roman Reigns. No, not yet. SummerSlam, Survivor Series, not now, not now. We're still at the high from WrestleMania. We're still buzzing from WrestleMania. You know, even when you orgasm, you know, you relax, you get something to eat, you smoke a cigarette, you might want to play some video games, you take a nap, you take a shower, you relax. And then in the near future, you might want to experience it again. The orgasm of WrestleMania is not dissipated yet. Let things calm down a little bit. Cody is in WWE 7 days. 7 days. And he's got a match with The Miz. People are complaining. I don't get that. I just don't get it. Do I deal with morning rush hour traffic when I go to work? That's a good question. I hope I don't piss anybody off. I work 5 minutes from my house. If I was the athletic type, I could probably walk to work every day. I'm too lazy. I'm too old to do that. But I, you know what? Somebody actually wants me, and I've been wanting to do this for a while. You know, I live in Howard Beach, Queens. I live a couple of blocks away from where John Gotti used to live. There's a lot of little areas in my neighborhood that is very, very memorable news-wise, for good and for bad. And quite a few of you over the last 2-3 years since now I'm doing video said, you should drive around the neighborhood. Show us your neighborhood. You know, show us some of the landmarks. I may actually do that, but I may actually show everyone my route to my office. 5 minutes. I don't deal with rush hour. Thank God. I used to work an hour away from my house, and that was just a nightmare. I mean, I just can't deal with traffic anymore in a car. Can't deal with it. I'll get into the XPW question in a moment. Let me just go back a little bit and let me answer some questions. Rockstar Wolfie, who makes my intros and my outros? Three different people. Before I went to video, Mish, for the most part, was the one who did my intros. I don't think he really does them all that much anymore. And he's got a lot on his plate doing all his content and everything. But I have two people that, you know, are supporters of the show that will send me content. There was one person who actually was, he had a website and then he went to Fiverr and, he's like, hey, can I do something for you? And, you know, look, I always pay. I always give something in return. Even if somebody says to me, DT, I don't want nothing in return. I always give something in return. It's the right thing to do. And this person said, look, can I make you some stuff? You know, and if you like it, you send me whatever you want. And then he actually, you know, took off and he's pretty good. But usually I like to keep it in-house. Now, as far as like thumbnails and stuff like that, I do it myself now. The problem with going to video and doing the extra visual part of it is that you do get people that offer to help. And then when it's time for the help, a lot of them, they mean well, but they're nowhere to be found. And it gets a little difficult, even with the production side. I mean, I got to put my camera on this one day so you could see exactly what I'm looking at while I'm doing the shows. And it's a lot of multitasking. But I had three different people that offered to do like a little behind the scenes. And one guy, I was going to give him like $50 a show, which may not sound like all that much, but it is. And he disappeared. So now I just do it everything myself. So, Supersonic. Will we see some more WWE releases in 2022? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. Listen, I have brought this up before. I know there's a lot of people out there that get very offended when Nick Khan or WWE or Vince McMahon uses the term dead weight. But the fact of the matter is, you know, if you cannot produce now, unless you are homegrown and have a crazy upscale or future, if you cannot step up and do it. And sure, look, we bring up some people who are recently released. You know, Tony Khan said over the weekend, how could any promotion let go somebody like Swerve Strickland and Keith Lee? With all due respect, You look at Swerve Strickland. You might have one or two wrestlers in WWE, which is very, very similar to that character. That is why sometimes somebody is let go. Why do you let Swerve Strickland go? I'll tell you why. Because in AEW, Swerve Strickland, this is no criticism on Swerve, but in AEW, Swerve Strickland is allowed to work here, here, here. He's allowed to do this, this, this. He can do this. He can do that. And in WWE, no, we don't want you to do all that stuff. So unless that guy is producing at a level where WWE is willing to compensate for all of those opportunities that Strickland cannot do, WWE is going to say, look, it's not worth it. It's not worth that kind of money. That's why WWE would let go someone like Swerve Strickland. I know it sounds passionate what Tony Khan says. Yeah, he's right. How can anybody in their right mind let go somebody like Swerve Strickland? Well, now I just gave you a professional answer. Nobody's going to give that answer because it makes sense and it's boring. And the conversation is now closed. I literally just shredded it like Zorro. I just shredded the argument. Keith Lee, still Keith Lee. When he debuted, a lot of people commented about him looking out of shape. I disagree. But again, when the guy has massive heart problems and is near death and has some other things going on, we don't know if WWE let him go because they are afraid. Health-wise, is Keith Lee have this crazy schedule in AEW where he's touring and he's on the road 6 out of 7 days a week? Is he wrestling 3 times a week? Is he, and not just a dark match for 45 seconds, is he fighting top? No, he's not. He's not. So when someone says, how could they be like, well, you look at how his workload now compared to then, it is completely different. Completely different. So, you know, yeah, you will see releases. There are quite a few people that if WWE feels, why are we paying this person $250,000? You know, it's corporate, publicly traded company. Anybody, someone working in an office, just sitting back. Hey, boss. Hey, how you doing? Hey, nice jacket. You think they're going to just pay that person anyway? So any wrestler that they do not feel has a gigantic upside that they're willing to keep around, yeah, they could get released. And they could be brought back. All right, moving on. M-Hawk. Would past WrestleMania main events be as big now as they were before social media? Hogan Andre is an example. Hogan Andre would, you know, the thing is, I'm not comparing Andre to Sting. Not comparing it, but you'll see why I say this. And look, obviously I'm answering this spur of the moment. I might have a more detailed answer if I had a day to think about this. But you see, One of the things about Sting now, everybody loves him that much more because at his age, he could still do it. He doesn't need to do it. He probably is financially secure, but he still does it and still loves it and still wants to help some of the stars of tomorrow. So Sting, whether he could do a little bit or do a lot, people just love it that much more. Andre the Giant, obviously, his health was so deteriorated that his health issues would have been a lot more public than what we perceived. Now, remember, there was no internet when Andre the Giant was around. There was none. But if there was internet and social media in the 80s to, you know, around that time, and we understood his health issues, his pain, I mean, we knew stuff was going on, but it would be so magnified, and yet he was still doing, I think people would have appreciated it that much more. I think people would have realized, like, my God, what this person is going through, and he's still doing it. You know, I think there would be a much more emotional attachment to Andre the Giant. I don't know if he would have been as successful as a heel, because I think there would have been so much more sympathy. Other WrestleMania main events, though, yeah, I could see the opposite happening. Absolutely. But the funny thing is, back when I first moved from hotline to podcasting in the around 2004, we had this guy on. I'll never forget it. Some of you that go back with me that way, you'll remember him. His name was Dave. He called himself Dave the Genetic Freak. And I remember having an argument with him on a Minority Report episode where he thought Hulk Hogan versus Andre the Giant was one of the worst matches in the history of pro wrestling. He was trying to compare work rate to that match, not understanding the year-long storyline and that WrestleMania III sold that many tickets because of Hogan Andre, not because of Savage Steamboat. Although people want to, insist, history that, that's the half the people were there to see Steamboat. No, half the people were there to see Steamboat Savage, but half the people there did not buy a ticket because Steamboat Savage. People forget, as much as I absolutely adored and loved George the Animal Steel, there was a lot of George the Animal Steel goofiness attached to that storyline as well. But I think some storylines would have been affected negatively if social media was around. Anthony Alston, thank you very much, my friend. Great analysis on the Tammy Sitch tragedy. Sucks that we had to do that in the first place. Hopefully it serves as a wake-up call for people like Jimmy Uso. Jimmy Uso, he really, look, I don't know the man personally. I'm not going to lie to you and say I know. So I don't have friends that are close with him. But from people who I have talked to and people who do know him that have worked with him said that, that last arrest really shook him up. But, there is a little bit of a dependency to alcohol when it comes to Jimmy Uso. It's not just, hey, let's go hang out and have a nice juicy steak and a couple of beers. That's not it. There is a physical, chemical reaction. I sound like a Madonna song. A physical attraction song is a physical, a chemical reaction. A physical. So it's much deeper with that. Jimmy Uso will battle probably for the rest of his life with alcoholism. Ask Kurt Angle. Ask Jeff Jarrett. Ask, anybody you want to ask that is publicly admitted to battling alcoholism. There is a numbing effect physically and emotionally because of alcohol. I don't think Tammy Sitch was the reason that Jimmy Uso or anyone else straightened themselves up. I don't want to be that. No, it's much deeper than that. Look, what I said yesterday, I did get some hate mail because of it. I got hate mail from a guy that's supposedly friends with Tammy Sitch's psycho boyfriend. And he's like, none of that stuff is out there. Why are you throwing it out there? First of all, I never mentioned his name. I never mentioned, the VIN number. I never mentioned the plate number. Never mentioned his address. Did not post publicly screenshots of the police report. I'm just telling facts. She should not have been behind the wheel. And either he gave her permission, and since he is involved with her, he knew her driving status and still let her use the car. I think this guy weirdly thinks that because of what I said yesterday, it might give a lawyer an idea. Oh, yeah, hey, sue him because of that. Trust me, lawyers don't need podcasters to tell them what they can and cannot do. You learn this in insurance 101. But no, it's a battle. It is a battle. And any of you out there that have ever dealt with alcohol yourselves, or if you have a loved one who has battled, you know that it's not simply like, hey, let's go out, let's have a drink. It's a lot deeper than that for some, not for all. Phil, do I think there's going to be more call-ups from NXT? Yeah, I do. I'm very curious to see what they do with Wesley. Talked about that a little bit yesterday. Wesley coming to the main roster, getting a new leash on his WWE life. That guy is so freaking talented. The Nash Carter stuff, it's terrible. And, the Nazi reference will do it. And, apparently there's more that has not been made public for various reasons. But, still, MSK was fun. I mean, look, we were saying MSK could be the next Hardys for WWE. I'm not comparing their careers to the Hardys. But my point is, two young guys that are athletic, that you know, tremendous baby faces, the kids could get behind, the girls would be attracted, the guys would admire them as well, and that's gone. That's gone. So what do you do with Wesley? Other women talent, you know, I'm curious to see who's going to be the women's wrestler that's going to go back to NXT. Somebody privately said to me that they may actually send Shotzi back over there for a little while. Shotzi's not being used yet. I think a lot of people think it's just creative. She's had a lot of issues with her spine and her back. She apparently is good now, but you know, they're trying to bring her back in very, very slowly because they don't want to put her deep into the storylines again. And then the back starts acting up and then she has to take additional time off. You know, they want her to be consistent and be in the company. So, you know, they're trying to find the right spot. That's why, you know, when people complain about certain women on the main roster not being used, you're going to add more women? And where are they going to fit in? You know, so that's why when people say that, you have to go the extra mile and say, okay, what if this person goes to the main roster? Where do they fit in? You look at Lacey Evans. I mean, Lacey Evans to me feels like, you know, is she going to be fed to Charlotte? Outside of Charlotte Flair, who does Lacey Evans feud with on SmackDown? Natalya? Nothing against Natalya. But really, when you start thinking about it, like, okay, you know, Lacey Evans, I'm happy she's back. I love they dropped the Southern Belle gimmick and everything else. Now what? Now what? Is she going to align herself with someone else? So, all right. Moving right along. I should answer this gentleman, Tommy. He is working tonight, cannot catch the show live. He sent this in before the show started. Did I watch XPW California Saturday night? And if XPW were to come back to the Northeast and ask me to help with the show, would I? Okay. Number one, I only watched a few minutes of California yesterday. Mainly yesterday was circled around two things. The King of the Deathmatch tournament, and they were paying tribute to XPW stars from 20 years ago. Nice moment of silence for Supreme. Very cool to see Vic Grimes again. I'm actually going to reach out. I have someone that's trying to get me a contact. I want to reach out to him and see how he's doing. And to see fucking Pogo the Clown. I know the gimmick is horrible. It was based on the John Wayne Gacy character and all that. I get it. But I'm telling you, I've said this many times. Some of my fondest memories doing work behind the scenes with XPW is hanging out in my hotel room and having this 450-pound heavy trucker in Pogo just hanging on my bed and just talking about everyday life. Tracy Smothers talking about finance and insurance. Vic Grimes is talking about whatever we wanted to talk about. That's one of the things that I will always cherish. Even seeing Veronica Kane yesterday, you know, one of the weirdest things, I have a VHS tape. I watched it about a year ago. I still won't put it online. But what this was when they first came to the Northeast one night on a Friday night, they were all in my hotel room and everybody was just hanging out, drinking beers. This person smoking weed, no hardcore drugs in any way. Two people having a chop contest, you know, I mean, just chopping each other until the person says, I give, I give. And, you know, passing around my camcorder and they're cutting promos and I'm dying laughing. They're just cutting about anything. And it was just awesome. But the one thing that I have always said over the years, anybody that follows me here, is you got Veronica Kane sitting in a corner wearing like almost like a turtleneck, like a sweater. And she's got her glasses, her hair is pasted back, and she's just sitting there, just hanging out, acting nice, nothing like that. and thought one of the nicest people that I ever met. And then I got this guy, Slash, who, you know, this history with Slash. He's like, hey, you want some movies? I'm like, yeah. And he gives me some XXX rated movies with Veronica Kane. And I got this tape, and I'm looking at some of the, you know, films that she did. And I'm looking at this girl in the corner. I'm like, this cannot be the same person. Because me, I just couldn't separate the two. But it was cool to see her yesterday. And everybody looks good. Everybody looked good. But Vic Grimes and Pogo put an extra smile on my face yesterday. And the answer is, would I help if they were to come back to the Northeast? I probably would. The only thing is, and this is what people need to understand, you know, the XPW of 2022 is not the XPW of 2002. 90% of the people that are fighting now are not from 20 years ago. And you got to also understand that people age. And there's not many wrestlers who, because Angel looked fucking incredible yesterday. Angel could probably still do it. But there's not many wrestlers from 20 years ago that could still do it. So if you don't have that real deep nostalgia effect, I don't know how it would work in the Northeast. I really don't know. I mean, if you got some Northeast guys, I would love to see Low Life Louie do something. And I know that he would love to do it if he can. You know, that's different. But the thing is, you come to the Northeast, there has to be a Northeast connection and there has to be some nostalgia. You know, when they first came to the Northeast, you know, the big story was them taking over the ECW arena. But, you know, me, you know, always trying to throw my ideas out there, I thought you have almost like copying rap music. This is 2002. You think about some of the rap stars who have unfortunately met their demise back then, even into the 90s. And I said, you know, don't do ECW versus XPW. Do West Coast versus East Coast. East Coast versus West Coast. And do it like that. It's almost like, you know, like almost like gang wars. But, you know, I mean, obviously, nobody's going to take my ideas, and they shouldn't. I mean, I wasn't, and I still not anything relevant. But I don't know if it would work in the Northeast. I really don't know. I mean, I know, you know, the people here that would go, and unless there's some nostalgia attached to it or local recognizable faces attached to it, I don't know how many people would go. I don't know how many people would go. So Romanowski thinks that I am a bot. No, I am not a bot. That is, you know, I'm still getting feedback from that. That is so ridiculous. This guy gets almost a weirdness to the loyalty of a lot of people online. And everybody that has any success will have trolls and bots and haters. It comes with the territory. But the fact that with all of the over-the-top, exaggerated fawning and support that this man gets, to still be that thin-skinned about haters and people criticizing, that really says a lot. He should have just kept that to himself. You know, maybe Tony Khan needs some of his own bots to spread that shit out there. Let other people make that claim that there's all these haters and bots and trolls and this and that. When you have the owner of a company, you know, here's one. Yesterday, at a UFC event, Tony Khan was there with Jim Ross, and they were seen on camera. Jim Ross was wearing an AEW jacket, and when they showed Tony Khan and Jim Ross on camera, underneath Jim Ross's name, it said AEW commentator. Under Tony Khan's name, it said co-owner Jacksonville Jaguars. He got so upset and triggered that they did not put AEW under his name. No co-nothing. AEW owner. No co-Jaguars. You know, and a lot of people online got offended by it. Look, there is a lot of good people in AEW. Their future is bright. They have bright stars. They have great wrestling. And they have good people behind it and a boatload of great wrestling fans. Do not take the whack jobs and make them the majority. But in all my years of being a wrestling fan, in all my years, I have never seen this large of a group of thin-skinned, insecure, have to be commended, praised, acknowledged. You know, Tony, look at me. Tony, look at me. Hey, don't forget about me. Hey, boss, this, look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Even some of the wrestlers. Amazing, unbelievable. Amazing, unbelievable. The best I've ever seen in my life. Nothing tops this. If I die tomorrow, I die the happiest I possibly could be. Look, I'm shaking right now. Christian made his return. I'm crying. I'm shaking. No, you should be shaking when you get something else. You know, it's just this exaggerated emotions. I mean, it's something I've never seen in my entire life. But that doesn't sway me. I will not criticize AEW because of that group of people. But I sure as hell am not going to keep silent about it either. So it's I'm telling you, AEW is turning into a niche. It's turning into a niche. And AEW is not set up to be a niche company. You know, a lot of people remember Lucha Underground, which should have been a lot bigger than what it was. A lot of people remember Wrestling Society X. You look at MLW, you look at Impact and others. I mean, they have pretty much turned into niche organizations. That they have a cap, they have a limit, and they really can't find a way to tap into, you know, this other audience. You know, CM Punk said something last year that was so, it's one of the most powerful things that I have heard anyone say since AEW opened its doors. And I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but CM Punk said something like that he doesn't think there is a group of wrestling fans out there that are not, like, that have fallen out of love of wrestling, you know, to get back. He doesn't think that there is that group out there. Remember when Rampage was announced? Tony Khan's first statement about Rampage is, we want to tap into those disgruntled wrestling fans and we want to get them back. And the thing is, I don't think there is a group out there. I think everybody that loved Ring of Honor already loved AEW. I think people who loved New Japan already loved AEW. You know what I mean? So if you do all this, you know, cross promotion, you're basically just making your current fans even happier, which is a good thing. But where are the new fans coming from? You know, when people say, oh, the demo went up 25%. Well, they don't mention that 2 weeks ago, the demo was down 25%. So when you, and that's why they compare, listen, they're comparing the ratings to a year ago when Punk wasn't there, when Brian wasn't there, when William Regal wasn't there, Keith Lee, Adam Cole, and you could just go on and on and on and on and on. Sometime in 2022, they're going to reach that date that CM Punk made his Dynamite debut. Once that date comes, they start comparing a year ago. Now is where you see the growth. And you look at those 40, 50 people that AEW signed, and then you compare it to then. And then you say, okay, we got 40 or 50 top quality people now in the company that weren't there before. How's our growth? Right? I mean, I'm not saying anything negative, but, you know, you could use a number any way you want and try to compare it. Plus, we were in a pandemic much worse a year ago compared to now, which I don't think is fair. We didn't have full attendances back. And even if you did have crowds, you still had a lot of people that were very, very nervous about going to events. Wow, how long do I have the XPW stuff up there? T. Smitty, Why so many AEW fans in denial, like Jade, MJF, may go to WWE? Bandy section highlights an AEW issue, lack of a female fan base. Oh, no, 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 no. AEW has a nice female fan base. Do you have, look, this, listen, I've said before, I don't have an objection to Jade Cargill doing a Bandy section. Jade Cargill is a bitch. Her character is a bitch. That bitch show. She is built. She is perfection. You look at her physique. She is unbelievable. Superficial. This is all character. Doing the baddie section and having other people who are somewhat superficial in others, that's like fan club. I don't see anything wrong with it. The problem is, and I talked about this on that 6-minute clip that, you know, got some traction this week. You have a lot of women that have been involved with AEW heels that are not perfection, that, you know, I don't want to say anything hurtful, but maybe wouldn't fit the baddies, you know, template. And listen, the last couple of weeks, it's all over the net. You've had women that were AEW heels that want to be part of the baddie section, and they were laughed at. They were mocked, ridiculed. Now, props to Jade Cargill, who pretty much kept silent about it, but also criticism for Jade Cargill, because here is where you got to step up. And okay, you want to do a baddies thing? Fine. You have to be prepared. What happens when we get ugly AEW heel girls that want to be part of this too? What do we do? How do we react? You know, if you look at the baddie section, it almost seems like in order to be a baddie, you have to have a very revealing outfit, crazy thick legs, big tits, nice ass, crazy makeup, very revealing stuff, extremely built. That's how all these pictures, every time they showed the bed, they didn't have regularly dressed women for the most part. Everybody had to try to stand out and one up on each other. And it goes back to what I said before. You know, a lot of this is insecurity. There is a giant level of insecurity going on, not just amongst wrestlers, but amongst fans as well. So, no, I don't think there's an issue with the women audience. But, you know, look, Jericho will go back to WWE. If Bryan Danielson, you know, if the stars are aligned, he'll go back to WWE. You will have people leave AEW and go back to WWE. This is almost similar to what happened with TNA. There were a few people in TNA that everybody said they will never go to WWE. Fuck you, Vince. Fuck you, Vince. And guess what? Almost all of them ended up going to WWE. And I felt bad for Dixie Carter back then, especially when she first had Hulk Hogan there. She'll never admit it publicly, but people have revealed it a little bit here and there in interviews, that she thought that there was such a tight-knit family in TNA that not only would people go the extra mile to want to stay in TNA, but, you know, it was Aunt Dixie. You know what I mean? And when their contract was up and they wouldn't even, like, extend it for another month or work an extra show or two or try to do this, and she realized, oh, my God, all is these people, it's just a business. And when some people left and then they got a little bit critical of her and the way she ran TNA, it have hurt her feelings big time. There's a lot of people out there, like I said, that insecurity and that very, you know, need for acknowledgement and to be part. Listen, I don't criticize Ring of Honor anymore, but almost 20 years ago, I used to call them Ring of Honor, what, whack jobs? Ring of Honor, whack jobs? I don't remember what I used to say. Remember Yaki Ka? Yaki Ka? You go to a Ring of Honor show, and, you know, people will just chant, and then they look at, like, the single available girl next to them thinking like, hey, I'm chanting what you're chanting. Recognize me. a lot of people would chant just to feel like they're part of the show. They did that for TNA as well. But, you know, people are going to realize quickly that AEW is no different than WWE, just different people running it. But it's a business at the end of the day. And when you see people that are going to be offered crazy amount of money, there's unless someone does not want to work the full-time schedule, not every wrestler wants to work a full-time schedule. But when you see some names leave AEW to go to WWE, you could try to spin it that, look, this person did everything. I don't want to mention individual names, but look, blah, 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 did everything they could have done in AEW. So I understand why the person would go to WWE. Or, you know, Tony Khan, you know, in the position that he's in, Tony Khan, okay, this person, you know, is going to leave, but this person could fill that spot. And people will just try to find an excuse for it. But sooner or later, you're going to see one or two additional names jump that nobody, most people, would not expect to jump. And that'll be the wake-up call. My God, AEW is no different than WWE. It's smoke and mirrors. You know, say things, make it feel like, you know, we're not them. No, 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 we will never be them. That's horrible. No, you are just like them. So it's just a business. And listen, as AEW gets much bigger, they best damn operate like a business. You know, they have to be very, very careful as they grow, because you have to, there's going to be some very hard decisions that are going to need to be made down the line, and it will involve contracts. You know, I mean, the idea, oh, we're just going to let contracts run out, you know, that's fine and everything, but no one really understands how loose and ridiculously small the contracts were in the first place. So, all right. No, I don't think AEW is becoming TNA, vintage TNA. Not at all. It's just like I said, when I said 3 years ago it was going to be the first millennial promotion, you know, you got to understand there is this audience, like I said online, the feel to need to be part of something. That's why if you notice, even amongst like podcasts and journalists, you know, there is a clique, and if you are not part of that clique, you could have good things happen to you, bad things happen to you, tragic things happen to you. You could have just, and they will just ignore it, act like you are non-existent. You have to be part of the cool club. And if you notice, sadly, and I'm being honest, how many of those people in the cool club have you seen them write in the last 3 years, look, I'm having a lot of hard times mentally right now. You know, I would really appreciate if anybody could send their thoughts and prayers my way, or I need a mental break. I'm having a little bit of a meltdown. I'm having this. And I don't, listen, I don't take that lightly. Everybody deals with some horrible shit. We're all human. Everybody at some point battles, challenges, depression, everything. But if you notice, when they're all happy and laughing, or as that old saying, happy and gay, you know, then, oh, fuck everybody else. But the minute they're vulnerable, everybody. I would appreciate everybody out there. You know. And it's sad. It's sad to see that kind of selfishness out there. When they're happy, fuck everybody else. Even with the wrestling stuff, you know. And God forbid you are happy for the opposite side as well. That's why, like I said, when Bryan Danielson first left WWE and praised Vince, a lot of people didn't want to hear that. A lot of people were, can't wait for the promo. William Regal, oh my God, WWE fired him. Can't wait for the promo. William Regal just immediately said, save everybody, save your breath. Notice how not many people are shitting on WWE after they let go, because they understand what they're getting into when they sign with WWE. When fans get angrier than the wrestlers, especially the wrestlers that have families, that should tell you something. So, I don't pay attention to cringy tweets by individuals, whether it's Alexa Bliss or not. I saw somebody trying to make a big thing about one person. What was the tweet? Some random person said, I forgot Hangman Page was champion. That is one douchebag schmuck out of millions of fans. But somebody screenshots the tweet, posts it on Reddit, posts it on Discord, posts it on Facebook, and posts it in this group, posted it here. One schmuck, one dopey fuck. Oh, I forgot Hangman Page was heavyweight champion. One person. And it turns into thousands of people talking about it. Why? Why? You get these whack jobs, ignore them. So all this cringy stuff, whether it's Alexa Bliss getting married, congrats to her, or Carmella or anything else, I don't pay attention to it. I don't pay attention. I'm not a gossip columnist. I could care less. There's always going to be whack jobs saying wacky things. You put credence into it, it just inspires people to do it even more and inspires others to do it as well. Everybody wants to be noticed, guys and gals. Everybody wants to be noticed. Everybody wants to stand out. Everybody's got to write the catchy insult, the catchy one-liner, the criticism here. And the worst part is the people that do that just to be an asshole, and then they sticky it. It's like, hey, everybody, look. I posted a catchy insult. Then you look at the age of the people as well, and it's like, oh, my God, I can see if you're 16 and doing it. When you're 36, 46 doing it, will Cody beat Roman at SummerSlam? Somebody's going to beat Roman, guys. Roman ain't retiring as champion unless something were to happen to him physically, which we hope doesn't happen. Could Cody be the one? Yeah. And it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting if two people beat Roman. Think about when Jericho was undisputed champion. He had two belts. Didn't he beat The Rock and Steve Austin for those titles? In my mind, look, WrestleMania is only a week out, so we still got plenty of time to talk about it. In my mind, the more they keep having him come out with two belts, it is a reminder that he is a double champion. I would not be surprised if Roman were to have to defend those titles in two matches down the line, and he loses the Raw title to somebody on Raw and loses the SmackDown title to somebody on SmackDown the same night. Would it take away the championship win if Cody was one of them? I don't know. But I don't think Cody would defeat Roman and then Cody has two belts. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I think sooner or later, they're going back to two champions. They need a champion for SmackDown. They need a champion for Raw. You know, having Roman show up, cut a promo, not have to wrestle, not even a post-match, post-event dark match. You know, the traveling sucks, but right now they can swing it a little bit. But I would not be surprised that the day that Roman loses the championship, that he possibly loses two matches, and we have two new champions. So remember that. Look, I brought it up yesterday about the tease that Roman made about unified tag team champions. We looked at the roster from 5 years ago. You saw all those champions. And almost every champion, maybe Alexa Bliss might have been the only one that may not have been ready 5 years ago. But you looked at all those champions, and we realized quickly that almost none of them you would want to have taken the belts off from. Kevin Owens, Universal Champion, AJ Styles, WWE Champion, Gallows and Anderson, Alpha Academy, you know, Cesaro and Sheamus. You know, you go down to Bray Wyatt. I mean, almost every person that was a champion 5 years ago, everybody was like, oh yeah, cool. There was nobody, except for maybe Alexa Bliss, where people said, yeah, I don't think that person should have been champion. So why would you unify the titles? You think Alpha Academy is going to somehow surpass the Usos if we only have one tag team champion for the foreseeable future? Doing this tease of unified is just to cover up the fact that they have very few viable tag teams right now that could be Raw and SmackDown tag team champions. That's all it is. And there ain't no way that I'm going to turn around here and say that something should happen, not because it's better for pro wrestling, but because I'm right. That is two totally different things. Again, the heavyweight champion, look at everybody who could be heavyweight champion right now that have no shot because Roman Reigns has both belts. You talk about Cody, all right? Anybody else on that main roster? They had to go to Shinsuke Nakamura, which happened a year ago, which has happened before, and they only did that because of Rick Boogs' injury. They have nobody. Other than Brock Lesnar, they have nobody who, if confronted Roman Reigns right now, that we would say, as a fan, yeah, I think that person could beat him for the title, other than Cody Rhodes. Just think about that. And the entire WWE, there's nobody. There is nobody other than Cody Rhodes. So you do that with the tag titles as well, who's going to break through? So I don't want things to happen to prove me right or because I predicted something. I want things to happen because it's the best for what we're watching. And eliminating opportunity for someone to be heavyweight champion right now, because WrestleMania just happened, it's no big deal. 3 months from now, it might be a big deal. When you realize, oh, Lashley is regulated to Omos for the distant future. And this person is regulated. Look at Drew McIntyre. Corbin? Well, who else? Who else? That guy should be champion. Oh, really? Yeah, now you only have one belt instead of two. You think his chances just went up or you think it went down? You have only one set of one tag team champion for both brands? You think Alpha Academy's chances of regaining those belts goes up by that or does it go down? You look at all the tag teams. You think the Street Profits, their chances just went up? So that's why be careful what you wish for. Doesn't always mean it's the right way to go. All right. Checking out some more questions. I like this. We're hanging out, having a little bit of Japanese coffee. We've already gone an hour. We'll do another 30 minutes and get out of here. Tomorrow's Raw. Got some good matches lined up. And Mish and I will be here at 11:05, recapping Raw, and we'll maybe touch, hopefully, I actually wanted to say this right at the beginning of the show. I put it in the chat section before we went live. You know, thoughts and prayers for Shinjiro Otani. He wrestled for 0-1, I think it was today. I mean, I don't know the time difference there. But he was seriously injured. He was having a match with Takashi Segura, and he was hit with a German suplex and into the turnbuckle. And the way that he landed, it hit his spine just almost like, it's almost like a superstorm. Like, it just, everything was tragically perfect. He could not move his lower extremities. He was on the ground for an extended amount of time, could not move his legs, and they ended the show and they told all the fans, go home. So I don't know if we're going to have a positive update before this show ends, but, I know not a lot of people are talking about it. I think a lot of people just don't even know right now, but, he's going to be 50. I believe he's 49 or 50 years old. This is, again, we love seeing Sting doing what he's doing at that age. We love seeing Jeff Hardy still doing what he's doing. And when you are a lifelong wrestler, and this is what you love, this is your life, this is your love, you know, sometimes you feel it here and you feel it here. But as you get older, you have to adapt accordingly. And you have to be extra careful, because I'm not saying that this couldn't have happened to him if he was 15 years younger. I'm not saying that at all. But you have to be extra careful as you get older, because it's not just if the bones are still strong or not. It's the wear and tear that is put on your body over the years. The body was not created thousands of years ago to take this kind of abuse. So as you get older, even if you still feel it here and you still feel it here, you got to be so freaking careful. This is more a freak accident, but I can't help but to look at the fact that he's 50 years old and you just got to be so freaking careful. That's why if you notice with Sting, you don't see Sting taking many back bumps. Go look. Go back and watch the last five matches Sting has had. You have a dollar. For every time he took a back bump, I don't think you could buy a Starbucks latte. He takes almost none. That is what they are doing to protect him. You know, jumping off through tables, you know, it's, yeah, you could still injure your front of your upper body, but it's a lot less risk compared to, you know, landing on your back. So, thoughts and prayers are with him, man. Thoughts and prayers are with him. Did not want to see something like that over the weekend. So hopefully we'll have an update tomorrow. I'm looking to see if there's any update, and I do not see any update. So, all right. What else you guys want to talk about before we jet out of here? I'm in the chat right now. Again, just put the word question or capital Q before your question so I could see it. Benjamin, unfortunately, his grandmother had to put down one of her Shih Tzu's dogs yesterday, had advanced diabetic ketoacidosis. Reminded me of my dog. Yeah. I mean, it's not something that I like thinking about. But yeah, diabetes, you know, when it comes especially to dogs, I mean, it's terrible. And, you know, that is a 5.5 year nightmare that my body still hasn't fully adapted to, you know, back. I still wake up sometimes at 3:30 in the morning. And I know it's, you know, because of the ritual that I had to do for 5.5 years, but my thoughts are with her. It's not fun. I try to convince myself to this day that, you know, I had to do what was best for the dog, not for my selfishness of wanting to keep him around. So who do I think will be the next NXT champions? Your guess is as good as mine. Could be the Creed brothers, but the Creed brothers are going to be feuding with Pretty Deadly. I don't know. It's still developmental. So for all we know, they could give it to Harlan and Gacy, even though I don't expect that to happen because they're trying to do something with Gacy and Bron Breakker. But, you know, maybe you give it to the Creed brothers. You know, maybe you give it to the Grizzled Young Veterans if they're still going to do something with them. But right now, like I said, you know, it just sucks that MSK, you know, ended up not only having to give those belts up, but the tag team is done. But, you know, we will know Tuesday, and I will be doing a watch party Tuesday. Oh, and a reminder, I'm going to put a thread up tonight in the community section. I'm putting a thread up tonight. Come on. We got to have Thursday have some pretty deep discussion. Mr. Joe Cronin is going to be on with me Thursday. It is going to be similar of what I had done with Jason Solomonster. We're going to talk about the news of the day. We'll probably talk about a little bit of Dynamite, what happened the night before. And we'll get a pick some of your best questions. So tonight, I'll post a thread in the community section for everybody. Post a question, a topic that you want to see Joe and I talk about. You know, something that you think that we could get really deep into. And we'll pick the best ones that we think everybody would love, hear, and discuss. And that will happen Thursday. I don't know exactly what time we're doing it yet Thursday. I am accommodating Joe's schedule. So we were going to do it last Thursday, but since it was still coming off of WrestleMania and SmackDown had not happened yet, so we didn't know what was going to transpire as a result of the first SmackDown after Mania, but this Thursday it's going down. So should be interesting. Thoughts on Bandido missing the GCW event? Well, ooh, I thought I dropped my coffee. It's all right. Look, a lot of wrestlers miss their flights. A lot of wrestlers, you know, they have traveling. The thing that caught my eye with this today is GCW saying publicly, we keep reaching out for Bandido, but he's not answering his phones. You know, I understand you put it out there. You're hoping that maybe somebody that knows Bandido, you know, maybe you ring his bell. Hey, Bandido, wake up. You were supposed to be at GCW. I hope it's he's okay. I hope it's not any type of breakdown, you know, where he just crawled up in a ball and just, I don't want to wrestle. I don't think it's anything like that. I think it could just be something logistical. But, you know, it sucks. I mean, it sucks. When I was doing stuff with Frank, USA Pro Wrestling, you know, almost 20 years ago, 16 years ago, you know, back then communications were a little bit different than what it is now. And social media was not what it is today. So you couldn't simply just put something out there and then there's 10 people trying to get in touch with someone. But hopefully by the end of the night, we get an update with that. It stinks that he had to miss the event, but we hope that it's nothing, you know, more than maybe just, you know, miscommunication, waking up late, you know, something like that. What are the chances that The Rock will wrestle at WrestleMania? Yes, extremely high. They're going to be in Hollywood, California. The Rock versus Roman Reigns. Everybody and their mother is expecting that to happen. It almost feels like it has to happen. I don't care that Cody Rhodes is back. I don't care if 2-3 other main eventers defect from AEW and go to WWE. You do not divert from that. If The Rock versus Roman Reigns has been the plan for the last 18 months for next year's WrestleMania, you do it. You do it. So, yeah, I still believe that that is extremely high. If I was WWE, have The Rock confront Roman Reigns at like SummerSlam or Survivor Series. We don't need, similar to what they did with him and John Cena, we don't need the year-long build. You do it later on in the year. And hopefully Roman Reigns doesn't have a championship at that time. I don't want any belts on the line. If Roman Reigns is still the champion, I tend to think Roman will win because I do not see, I have not heard anything about The Rock staying after Mania. Just like John Cena, after his recent appearance. After that match was over, he was done. So if there's no belts on the line, now I think, okay, it could go either way. So I hope hope Roman is not a champion at the time that Rock confronts him, or vice versa. Remember, a lot of people think that The Rock is just going to show up on a Raw or a SmackDown and confront Roman Reigns. It doesn't have to go down that way. The Rock could be making a guest announced appearance for WWE, and then Roman comes out. And Roman, you know, and look, there's no friction. In storyline, there's no friction between the two. So The Rock could appear, like, next week, The Rock's going to be appearing. And then Roman Reigns is in the back, and he bumps into Rock. Hey, Rock. And they, you know, have a little fist bump, a hug. And then maybe something is said and Roman Reigns, you know, like throws a little dig like, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this is my show or I'm the tribal chief. You know, he gets a little cocky and The Rock is, you know what I mean? So don't immediately think that Roman Reigns is going to be like, who's next to challenge me? I've done everything. And then The Rock comes out. Doesn't have to happen that way. All right. Super chat came in. I don't do these enough.
Super chat.
I know. It's a little hokey, but it's appreciated, believe me. And by the way, if you're enjoying the show, I would appreciate if you take a moment, hit that like button. It helps the show grow, the channel to grow. Any little thing, posting a comment, subscribing, hitting the like. You know, I want this channel to grow. You know, I want it to continue and, you know, maybe we could expand video even further. And your support, you know, can be in many, many ways. So if you're enjoying the show, hit that like button. Philip Maffey, since WWE's been sending a bunch of people to NXT, do we think Bray Wyatt could return to NXT? The amount of money that you would pay to bring back Bray Wyatt, I wouldn't put him in NXT. This is the reason why you have a lot of wrestlers no longer in NXT. Some who ended up going to AEW. WWE does not want to spend $350,000, $400,000 for an NXT guy. You know, maybe you pay Bron Breakker that, you know, in a year, but the fuck, why would you pay Adam Cole, with all due respect, Gargano, you know, and others for NXT? You know, it's very easy for us to spend their money. It's very easy, like I said earlier, when Triple H said that the lower end guys make $250,000, it's very easy for social media to say, oh no, they should be getting paid a minimum $500,000. It's very easy for us to spend their money. But at the end of the day, if you understand the corporate world and the bottom line, WWE has to please the stockholders. WWE has to please the fans, because without the fans watching and investing in WWE, then the numbers go down and it definitely upsets the investors. So fans are just as important as investors. But a lot of people out there ignore the investor part, and that's why they keep getting it so wrong. You look at the growth of WWE since 2008. Brandon Thurston posted a chart. Go and look on his Twitter. Look at the growth of WWE from 2008 to the present. Every year it's gone up. So, yeah, as wrestling fans, we could bitch about creative. We could bitch about how people are being used. But you're talking about a $1 billion entertainment publicly traded company. And if you don't understand that aspect of it, you could yell, piss in the wind, scream at the top of your lungs about Bruce. And if you don't understand the corporate side of it, you'll never. And I think people do understand it, but they refuse to acknowledge it because they think having better creative solves all of WWE's problems. No, it's the bottom line. Finance, investors, everything else. You could have amazing creative and not be making the WWE money. I could give you an elite example right now. Everybody's saying, oh my God, AEW's got the best wrestling, the best storylines. There's blood. It's TV-14. Is this that? Well, then how come AEW is not making even a quarter of what WWE is making? You know, where's the growth? Where's the growth? Oh, I see more T-shirts. Where's the growth? The pay-per-view buy rate, what was it, 120,000? That's a great buy rate. But you look at all the people that are there now compared to a year ago. Why isn't that buy rate 300,000? You mean to tell me you can't get, you know, because a lot of people don't realize, and I will keep saying it, and I think this probably upsets people more than anything, said what people don't understand is that when you see AEW score a million rating on a Wednesday night, I ask you, how many of those 1 million viewers also watch WWE programming? You can never post a poll. Because AEW fans, hardcore AEW fans that do watch WWE programming would never answer the poll honestly. they would say, no, I only watch AEW. I would never watch that garbage. But meanwhile, they're watching every minute of WWE as well. So when you look at that million viewership on Wednesday, how many of those million also watch WWE? Everybody I know that watches AEW also watches WWE. So what, 60, 65%, 70% of wrestling fans also watch some WWE programming? So what does that say to you? Only 300,000 fans on a Wednesday only watch AEW and not WWE? Does that number now suddenly sound incredibly large? No, it doesn't. So this is why this toxic atmosphere is so dangerous for AEW. Because there is a good portion of their viewers that also watch WWE. And if you're going to make them feel like outcasts, and even if you say, oh, I like both, how the fuck could you like that? You know what? Get the fuck out of here. It just makes it unfun. You know? So, I want to go to a Yankee game, and I'm also a Met fan. Now, of course, I'm not going to wear a Mets jersey at a Yankee game. The Yankees are playing. You support the Yankees. But if I go there and I say, hey, yeah, you know, who's your favorite? Yeah, I also like the Mets, too. I'm a New York fan more than anything. Look at this guy. What are you, stupid? The Mets? What are you, stupid? Yankees. And everybody starts criticizing you. Can you like both? Is something wrong with you? You think I'm going to go back to that game again? Nope. I want to go where I feel important. I want to go where I feel respected. I want to go where I feel welcomed. And I can't see where I'm going with it. This is why, if you know, there's an old saying, you get more bees with honey. Tony Khan, a Dax Harwood, a CM Punk, and everybody else that likes to very quickly insult fans. Even if they cut a pro, even if they go, what? At a show. You know, you get more bees than honey. You know, you throw some nasty remarks, you got that hardcore audience that has your back, and guess what? You got a lot of other people like, I just want to have fun. Why do I need to know a history lesson about CM Punk and Ring of Honor? That all I say is, hey, you know, is there something I'm missing with the entrance theme? And you call yourself an AEW fan? You claim to be a long CM Punk fan? Leave your man card at the door. Guys! Assholes. Assholes! Assholes! I try to make everybody on this show laugh. I don't sit here and try to single out a group of people that like one thing or the other. I try to make everybody laugh. I try to make everybody here have a good time. And that's what AEW should be doing as well. Hey, do what I used to do with the podcast in 2005. Have people want to watch AEW because AEW is great, not because WWE sucks. You know, you don't need to label every AEW match 10 stars, amazing, unbelievable, I've never seen anything better. The FTR is the greatest tag team in the history of pro wrestling. You don't need to do all that shit. Just tell everybody that it's good and not that everything else sucks. You know, leave WWE alone. Act like it doesn't exist. That goes for the radical fans also. You know, but stop with this over-the-top Willie Ute is a made man. You know, and again, I will use, I think it was Kevin Milwaukee that said it. Okay, Willie Uta proved that he can bleed. Can he draw? When he draws, then I will say Willie Uta is a made man. But take away the blood, take away the extreme violence, take away the street fights, take away the weapons, take away all that stuff. Somebody said to me, well, DT, it was not a Ring of Honor pure championship match the other day. It was not a pure match. Well, Willie Uta is not a fucking, he's not Schlack. He's not a hardcore wrestler. Imagine training like Yuta, having an amazing high-flying ability, and this and that, and it took you spilling blood like a 70s samurai movie to get over. I don't know. If I was Wheeler Yuta, I would never say it publicly, but if I was him deep down inside, I'd look in the mirror and be like, man, this kind of sucks. Like, you know, all right, it's the black pool, not the blood pool, pool of blood. You know, like, I should be accepted because I'm a fucking great technical wrestler, high flyer. I have offense, defense, not because they bleed. You know, like I said yesterday, I'm not mocking the match. The match was excellent. I enjoyed it. I thought it was an awesome match. Moxley made him look like $1 million, and Yuta backed his shit up. They both deserve credit. Absolutely. But at the end of the match with Moxley, I'm sorry for repeating this for you, but at the end of the match with Moxley's like, people actually like thinking like, even Moxley can't believe what he just witnessed. It was a fucking choreographed match, morons. That's part of the storyline. Moxley is unbelievably amazed. I can't believe this guy went toe-to-toe with me. It's part of the story. It's what made it good. People taking it, believing it, as if it was not scripted. But if you notice, I don't go on social media and say, what are you, stupid? This is part of the storyline. This is why he's being accepted. What are you, stupid? You think Moxley really did that? Hey, honey, I just fought this guy. I can't believe we were only supposed to go 6 minutes. We went 26 minutes. He wouldn't quit. I wouldn't do that on social media. Why would you blow somebody up like that? They're loving it as a wrestling fan. So if they love Cody Rhodes versus Seth Rollins, if they love Cody Rhodes wrestling Miz or this and that, just because it's not to your standard doesn't mean that you have to insult or put down the other person. And that's the big problem going around right now. It's still real to the bots. Chris says I'm funny. Fuck is so funny about me? Do I amuse you? Do I make you laugh? I tell you, this mug, I don't know if you could see the white light, the ember. I tell you, this is one of the greatest gifts that anybody's given to me in recent memory. This is a heated mug. And if you don't keep it on the charger, it'll work for about an hour. It keeps your coffee at 145 degrees up until literally the last sip. There's like maybe like two sips left on this, and it's still piping hot. I mean, this is one of the greatest things, because one thing that sucks is you get a nice hot cup of coffee, especially in the morning. Oh, you wake up, nice hot cup of coffee. Then you get distracted for 10 minutes. You check Twitter, you check an email, this and that. You go back and the coffee's lukewarm. You're like, oh, this shit sucks. Roderick Howard. What's up, Rod? He agrees with me that Ronda Rousey needs a mouthpiece. How about Pat McAfee? They don't want Pat McAfee to leave the commentator's booth. Maybe 5-10 years from now, Pat McAfee. Scott Shut Hats, welcome to the family. But Pat McAfee right now, no. Pat McAfee, look, the guy absolutely loves to be in the ring. And what he did at WrestleMania was excellent. And he's got some memories that, you know, we are all jealous of. I don't care how old Vince McMahon is. He got to be in a ring with him. He got stunned from Steve Austin. He had a WrestleMania match. Some people say that Pat McAfee was the most over person WrestleMania Night 2, with outside of Brock Lesnar, Roman Reigns, Steve Austin. That says something. That's not a knock on the regular roster. Pat McAfee, I hated that guy. When he first showed up that time at WrestleMania and he was wearing whatever the kind of shorts he was wearing, and I'm like, who is this dick? Oh, he was a football punter. Good. Punt his ass back to the NFL. I just did not like him. The more that I learned about him, and a lot of you as well, I credit all of you, DT. He's actually, you know, he's a good guy, big-time wrestling fan, you know, this and that. The more that I started to pay attention to Pat McAfee, the more I liked him. Now I fucking love that guy. But I don't think he himself would want to be a regular wrestler. Mike Peace, yeah, he would be perfect for it. But right now, SmackDown commentator with his podcast and all the other things that he does, don't mess with that. Don't mess with that, because you don't want Pat McAfee starting to wrestle the regulars, and you don't want him to be used as a mic piece for Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey is one of the top female athletes in the world. And, you know, she's horrible on the mic, and it doesn't seem to be getting better. And there's not many people that you could fit in that role. If she was much lower on the food chain as far as a female athlete that was not like this larger-than-life recognizable person, then you can probably take your pick as far as who could be a mic piece for her. But outside of Paul Heyman, I have nobody. Outside of Paul Heyman, I have nobody. And I wish WWE would reconsider, but I don't think it's going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen. All right. So we are at 90 minutes. We're going to start breaking this home. Not just yet, but we're almost done. Mike Gonzalez, my thoughts on when I first saw Hulk versus Andre at Halloween, versus the Giant, not Andre, Halloween Havoc 95. You know, look, I'm not trying to ruin it for everyone out there. You know, one thing about WCW, when they did Halloween Havoc, it was a Halloween theme to it. I mean, I still remember when Bischoff dressed up as like a vampire and stuff. People would dress up. So to see a mummy character in the Yetai, you know, like, we were laughing because he looked like he was dry humping someone. I mean, you got the Yeti. Obviously, he can't move all that well because he's wrapped in bandages and he's literally just like pumping. I didn't think much of it. I didn't like lose sleep over it. I wasn't doing my hotline yet. I didn't start. In fact, we're almost at the anniversary. I think we are at the anniversary of my hotline. I did my anniversary right before ECW's first pay-per-view. So I think we are right at the anniversary. I started, I think, a week before, and it was inspired by a few other hotlines and strictly ECW, if anybody remembers that hotline. Uriel, remember Uriel? But I didn't lose sleep over it. I just thought it was a goofy Halloween thing and anything, and that was really it. I liked the Dungeon of Doom back then. I liked the Dungeon of Doom. I just, you know, it took a life of its own. But look, you go back to the wrestling magazines in 95. You go back to Meltzer's newsletter in 95. You go back and look at the Daily News, Blackjack Brown, or the Slammer, whatever was doing the hotline in 95. There wasn't any focus on the Yetai. It was just wrestle crap that took a life of its own as years went on. And one social media and YouTube and everything where you could relive it every single day. That's why it was not a big deal at the time. And the Giant, they were portraying him as son of Andre, even though he didn't look anything like Andre. And we watched Biography and everything else. I think Biography may have come out later, but we saw some, you know, bullshit biographies of Andre because he died, I think, in 93. Nobody remembers. You're like, this guy, like, wait, that's not Andre's son, but they were trying to portray it that way. I thought he dressed quite dapper for the son of Andre the Giant. But then you learned a little bit about Paul White's background, a little basketball, this, this, and that. I thought it was okay. Just him doing the monster trucks and falling off of that, was it Detroit Arena or whatever, falling off the side. Yeah, that was like, oh, God. Yes, everybody loves Pat McAfee on commentary. Ron Reese, the Yetai might have been Ron Reese. It was somebody very tall. It was not very good. Yes, January 27, 1993. Yes. New is 93. Greg in Brooklyn. He went on a few ECW bus trips with Uriel in 98, one in 99. Whatever happened to him? I don't know whatever happened to him. My first wrestling hotline report was in April of 1997. And I had called wrestling hotlines many times. And, you know, anybody remembers those days, Captain Ivan, Dominic Valente, a few others would always acknowledge me. And you would have other people like leaving messages on their hotlines about things that I said. And then I was a guest a couple of times. But Uriel pushing ECW on his hotline is the one that really pushed me to start doing one. And the rest is history. But I'm very curious what happened to him. I'm very curious. You would think, especially with how much he loved ECW and how much Uriel was, not only because of the first pay-per-view, you know, he did a lot of, you know, behind the scenes trying to help ECW. You would think that his name would pop up a lot more, even just fans like, hey, bro, I remember, you know, the hotline of what you used to do, Strictly ECW. I don't ever see that. And I think that's a shame, because that's one guy, just an everyday wrestling fan, didn't overstep, didn't act like his shit didn't stink. Very, very cool guy. I met him a few times. I'm curious whatever happened to him. I gotta look, try to find out. The worst thing I ever saw in wrestling, up close and personal, Terry Funk, when he sliced his arm open with Shane Douglas, XPW, Hostile Takeover. I don't want to get into the whole story again, but I was doing timekeeping, and when he went outside and he took the beer bottle, cracked it against the side of the ECW arena, and, you know, without getting too detailed, when wrestlers do want to bleed, they will cut themselves. And sometimes they will not only cut their forehead, they will cut their arms, they will cut other parts. Some reason, he went like this to his bicep. And he walked back in, actually before he walked back in the ECW arena, I was by the side, and you could see some of me in the reaction online. And I'm on the side by the guardrail, and Slash was one of the first to come back in the building. And when I saw Slash, you could see it. I locked eyes, and he went like this. And I was like, and then he walks in, and he's like this. And you literally see the tendons hanging out of his arm. That was just crazy. I'm literally right there watching all of this. And then after the show was over, the memory I will always have was Shane Douglas throwing chairs, everything in the back. He was very concerned for Terry Funk, very worried, but he was also flipping the fuck out. Like, why the fuck did he slice his arm? So that was probably the worst thing that I ever saw with my own eyes that close. So Dominic Valente still does have his wrestling hotline. I have not called it in years. I hear that he's doing well. Somebody gave me an update a couple of months ago, and I don't know if Dominic ever tunes into my stuff here, but if he does, I hope he's doing well. I mean, you know, he was a good guy. He was a good guy. Definitely inspired me as well. I mean, look, when we all had wrestling hotlines, we would fuck with each other. I fucked with him. You know, I impersonated him a couple of times. You know, then it got a little bit out of control. We had people trying to start bullshit with other hotlines. We had that Nick Nazi guy that would show up. And I tell you, for someone to start trouble, I thought it was genius, though, at the time. I don't want to get into the whole thing, but I'll leave you all with this story. What would happen, and I know some of you who tune into my original Thursday shows here, remember I was playing all the messages that Captain Lenny would leave on my hotline? The guy is just a whack job. You've heard it. In fact, I got to send that audio to Jim Cornette and Brian Less so they could hear some of the crazy shit with Captain Lenny that I have. They have no idea with that audio. But what started happening is I started getting messages on my hotline from people fucking with me. Haters, trolls, this Nick Nazi guy. I can't remember the other guy. Oh, what was his name? I can't remember his name right now. but they would be leaving me like horrible, horrible shit. And Captain Lenny would leave me horrible shit too. So what I would do is I would take the audio that they would leave on me. And I would always think that other hotlines were play. Because if you remember the Captain Lenny audio, he wasn't even addressing to me. He called my hotline. And I would pick it up at 4 o'clock in the morning, like, hey, you know, like, what question does he have? And I pick it up. And instead of saying like Anthony or Funker, that was my nickname, what do you think about Kurt Angle? You know, you think he could do good in WWF? Instead, I would pick it up and it would say, Howie, Howard Wiener, I'm going to kill you, Howie. You and little Mike. I'm like, why is he leaving this on my line? It's not even for me. Then I started thinking that they were taking messages on other hotlines and playing it for me. So what I would do is I would call the other hotlines and I would transfer the messages back. The problem is when we had this Nick Nazi guy leaving nasty shit, I would call Dominic's line on three-way. And when his voicemail came on, I would press one. And whatever was left on my hotline, I played it back on his because I thought he was leaving it there. So what happens? He hears it. But then because I called his line and played the message back, his caller ID has my phone number on it. So he thinks that I'm the person actually talking. So it was just a mess. Crazy stuff back then. I will tell you this. I wish Twitter was around with the hotline wars back then. And I am so, so thankful that I have all that saved. I never in a million years, to this day, I will never understand back in 2000. Because most of what I recorded was 99 and 2000, 2001 as well. Never in a million years ever understood, even at that time, why I decided to save that to a hard drive. I don't know. But now it's 20 years old and you hear this crazy shit coming back. You know, it's surreal. It's surreal. But fun memories, fun memories. Yeah, I do remember Tristan. I do remember Tristan. I remember Iron Mike. I remember the Wire Duck Wrestling Hotline. And we made fun of them. I don't know if you heard the Thursday shows. We played clips of them. I still got a lot of their stuff. I should throw a Lenny thing on now to close out the show, but I don't know if I have anything handy. Do I have anything Lenny handy? Yeah, I actually do. I have that. Oh, man. I don't know if I could play this. No, I can't play this because he says some really like racist things as well. I can't play that. I have the bar stuff. What's this? I don't know if I could play this. I might have to shut it off like right away. I don't know what this is, but let's see.
This goes out to all the dead mothers out there, the dead mothers that step on their husbands.
Yeah, I can't say anymore because I think he uses the N-word a few times. It's just wacky stuff. Let me see if I could find one more. Maybe I could find one that's a little bit easier. I'm not getting my shit in trouble over here, but that stuff is 20 years old. I have the bar stuff, but the bar stuff goes too long. Let's see. Lenny Barr. Maybe I could play this. This is Lenny 21. So the fact it says 21, it probably made it safe to play in 2021. Let's see.
I only had a brain.
And hello, Superboy, to you. I will now do my rendition of ABBA.
In the belly box, over in your mama, I thought about you wearing makeup, and whatever happened to Dave, did you never quick find?
The man hasn't updated in about a week and a half.
Do you know Channel 21 the other night had Mike Douglas on? Do you know Superman had on last night? The one with Haiti with Perry White's sister. Remember the one with the Indians and the natives? You remember that one? That they fly to Haiti? Haiti, remember Haiti? You remember?
Now, this is my hotline. These are the messages I would get. That is Captain Lenny right now.
Two men, it's the bird, it's the blame with Phyllis Coates.
You had a head on that one the other night.
You remember the one, Drums of Death?
Boom, 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 boom. Drums of Death, boom, 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 boom.
You remember, you watch Superman every night. You ain't got nothing better to do. So you watch TV then. And remember, B-Wings, they had one with Samantha with the grass. The guys come in, they cut the grass. You remember that one, Howie? Yeah, you remember that one, David. Yes, you do.
And you know what? Dave the genetic freak went under. His hotline is no more because the update hasn't came on in a week and a half. Yes, I went to Bellevue to visit a friend, and I went to a funeral the next morning, and I begged in front of Bellevue Hospital for hot dogs. Yes, I did. I begged for money, and if I have to beg in the streets for some slam money, that's exactly what I'm going to do, because I'm going to be the beggar that begged for some slam money. Bye-bye.
To discard, press 3. Message discarded.
Good morning once again. Now I drank a little apple juice and I feel a little more spry. For an old man, I would have to use the adjective spry. Now, I'm going to try and land an interview with the real Captain Lenny in the next few days. Oh, you fucking got is ZD Dubai. ZD G.
It just goes on and on and on forever. So this is what we had to deal with back then. So, oh my God, Benjamin. I wasn't prepared to play any of that, but I could put hours of it on. It's just, some of the things are just outrageous. But it's funny to hear Jim Cornette and Brian Lance talking about it a couple of months ago. Because I remember Brian Lance said to Jim Cornette, you remember Captain Lenny? And I don't think they realized that Lenny tried to sue me. I don't think they realized that we prank called Lenny in the bar and got him to, you know, I'm sure all of you have heard that on the Thursday show. We don't need to put it on here tonight, but there is some legendary shit, man. So, and he's still alive. He's still alive. If there was anybody that you would have thought would have died young, and I don't mean that in a horrible way, but the guy is in his 80s now. He's got to be in his early 80s. So crazy stuff, man. So anyway, I'm going to get out of here. It's been real, everyone. Fun conversation as always. Again, on your way out, if you enjoyed the show, hit that like button. You know, it does help in some ways of the channel grow and get a little more exposure. And I hope you could join us tomorrow night, 11:05 p.m. We will definitely talk about Raw. Hopefully we have an update on Ohtani and any other news that transpires over the weekend. I will tell you this. Expect tomorrow for us to talk about that picture that surfaced of Kevin Nash, X-Pac, Diamond Dallas Page, Cody Hall, Shawn Michaels, Triple H. Hopefully I'm not leaving anybody out. They were at the cemetery. Scott Hall was laid to rest. And they all posed for a picture. And most were smiling. And as usual, I watched people on social media getting a little bit dramatic. I don't feel comfortable about this picture. Their friend just died. Why are they smiling? Do you remember the night that Mish and I did our show and we paid tribute to Scott Hall? Do you remember the first words that I said that night? I said, this is not going to be a tribute. This is going to be a celebration. We're going to remember the good times, the funny times of Scott Hall. We wanted everybody to smile and remember him and enjoy. And I don't know Scott Hall personally. I never knew him personally. I met him twice, but I don't know. But all I know is that when it comes time for me to go, if it's abrupt, I hope each and every one of you out there smiles, has a good time, laughs, miss you if you're hearing this. Anybody that covers my demise, you know, if you want to dance in the streets in celebration that Don Tony finally kicked the bucket, go right ahead. But I don't want anybody crying. I don't want anybody shedding tears. I don't want anybody to be bummed down. See, those guys smile. They're remembering their friend and they're smiling. That is a good thing. And to see people out there, well, I don't feel comfortable about this picture. They don't look at the picture. You know, people grieve in different ways. And it's an Italian tradition in my family. And I talked about it the night when we paid tribute to Scott Hall. I said, in my family, after the funeral is done and the burial is done, we all go out to eat. And we have this gigantic dinner and everybody laughs. Of course, there's tears shedded, but everybody brings up stories, happy times, funny times. You know, you want to remember the person and smile. You don't want to remember the person and cry. So expect a little bit of ranting to happen tomorrow with that, because I just thought, like, man, if you just show respect, they lost a friend, not you, not me. So we'll talk about that tomorrow. And a few other things. And I'm still holding out hope that ultimately Finn Balor joins up with Edge and Damian Priest. I think a little character change for Finn Balor, maybe a little move to the dark side is what's necessary for Mr. Balor. And Dream is loving the name Gunther more and more. I'm telling you, nothing wrong with the Gunther name. Gunther said, I brought it up yesterday, and I'll leave you with this. Gunther said something the last couple of days that is probably the most intelligent thing he could have ever said about the name change. And what he said was that years ago, if his name was Gunther, and they now changed it to Walter, those same people would be complaining. And that is so true. I don't care if it's Walter. I don't care if it's Gunther. As long as he is being used the right way, call him either name. And I think Ludwig is an upgrade from Marcel Barthel. I was shocked at how many people agreed with me yesterday. Marcel Barthel sounds like a name from Nickelodeon.
Hi, I'm Phony Tony. What's your name?
I'm Marcel Barthel. And I'm Dykey Mikey. You know, it's like Marcel Barthel always sounded kind of corny because it rhymed. Hey, I'm Marcel Barthel. Hey, you're a poet. You didn't even know it. Ludwig. And the best part, his pose is exactly the same from 4 years ago. And people had a problem with it on SmackDown. What are these ostriches? What are the heads under the sand for the last 4 years? Oh, man. What a awful controversy to create over the weekend. And I'm a little surprised at those people that did that to me on Friday. Because I didn't even realize it until afterwards that the name that they were telling me to look up wasn't even the name that they went with. I'm like, man. Not me. Don't do it to me. I'm not one of those. All right. I'm out of here. Jay.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted it.
I just realized I meant to say goodnight, but when I went to say bye at the last second, I think I said Chai. I think I was like, okay, Chai. Goodnight, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. see, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today, everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.